and welcome to Teachers Supporting Teachers, a podcast designed for pre-service teachers and beginning teachers. My name's Narelle Lemon, and I'm an Associate Professor in Education at Swinburne University of Technology in Melbourne, Australia. I'm also the Creative Director of Explore and Create Code. Welcome to Series 2, where I invite you to use your strengths of creativity, curiosity, open-mindedness to explore what might be possible. In Series 1, we focused a lot about COVID-19 and the dynamic changes that we needed to make. In Series 2, I want to branch out a little bit more and talk about what it means to be a teacher and all those different aspects that are a part of our job, how we look after ourselves, but also how we look after the young people that we work with. So join me in this series as we discover some new insights with some guests from Australia, but also from the international context. This episode of Teachers Supporting Teachers, and I'm so excited because we have my dear friend Jodie Cooper joining me, and we are talking play today, and we're going to talk about it in regards to ourselves personally and how important it is for ourselves. Even though as pre-service teachers and graduate teachers listening to this series, you would think about play automatically for the curriculum and what we do with young people, we're going to maybe mention that a little bit today, but more so focus on play for yourself. And I'm really excited that Jodie's here because we've known each other for a couple of years now, and we spent 2 years as study buddies with the Masters of Applied Positive Psychology. And we had lots of fun, breakfast together and all sorts of things, which was wonderful. And we are now, for some of you would know, Jodie is my accountability buddy. So each week we text or email each other with a personal intention and a professional intention. So you never know, that might come up as well as we're chatting today on this episode. So welcome, Jodie. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Narelle. It's really cool, and it's an absolute pleasure to jump back into the world of play again and hopefully share and inspire a little bit more play in the world.
Yeah, awesome. I think so. I have no doubt it's going to be inspirational. So before we get started, I wonder if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I guess 14 years ago, I started my business as a coach. So initially doing life coaching, and fairly quickly kind of found that it wasn't enough for me personally. So I wanted a little bit more evidence behind it. And that was when I started exploring what positive psychology was. And then I had children. So I've now got an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old son and daughter. And so positive psychology really just changed my world, I guess, in a whole lot of ways, and did the diploma and did the master's. And play was a big part of that, funnily enough, because I think was an opportunity for me to figure out who I was and what was really important to me. And so last year, as you know, Narelle, but last year after we finished the masters, my family and I packed up and rented out our home and took off in a caravan around Australia. So we decided to take a year or so with our kids while they're an awesome age and just travel around Australia. And that was the big adventure, the adventure of a lifetime. Didn't quite work out that way. We're now in Tassie, so we got to Tasmania and the coronavirus hit, and so we've adapted and we've changed what the plan was, and now we're living here certainly for now, which is, it's working out really cool.
Yeah, universe alignment in a weird, wonderful, wacky way of COVID changing all sorts of things. And I know I was following greatly as you left. I think it was early December, late November. Yeah. And traveling around Australia and adventures. And I know you hit Victoria and were doing some cool things, and then made it to Tassie, and then it was like, hello, this is going to be your home for a little while.
Yeah, it's not as warm as we hoped. We were kind of, and every now and again we'll have a conversation of, you know, last month we should have been in Darwin, and then right now we probably would have been over in Western Australia swimming with the whale sharks at Ningaloo Reef. And so, you know, there's these inklings or thoughts or almost an inspiration spark of, we could have been, had we lived in this alternate universe without COVID. But at the same time, I think, and it's nice, you know, talking about play, because I think it's being able to pivot from that forward. I think being playful, it's made us so much more resilient, because if we were really fixed in what we thought this year was going to be and how we were going to travel, we'd be devastated right now that we're not still on the road and traveling, because it was, you know, we've planned for this for 10 years. And it literally was the most playful adventure ever, you know. And so to have that change and be able to turn it into something that's kind of, you know, it's different, it's totally different, but at the same time, it's really great. Like, Tasmania is a beautiful place to explore and to play, but the kids are in school, they're making friends, and it's just a different experience that we've been able to embrace because of the mindset, I guess, of play.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that, highlighting that it's that mindset of play that's enabled you to embrace, and all of you, your whole family, to embrace the opportunity, the unexpected, in a way that is positive, and, you know, a little bit of that universe alignment of, you are in the right place for right now. And who knew that was going to be the situation?
Next time, could the universe align it to a warmer place? Is our
small amount of pain for beautiful nature, and, you know, some of those photos that you share with me, it's like, wow.
That's true. It's pretty amazing. It is.
Yeah. So let's talk about play and what it actually is and why it's important for our well-being and self-care.
Cool. So I guess play actually has a really robust purpose in terms of our evolution. So if you think about human beings, we actually have the longest cycle of play. A lot of animal species grow up and they develop through play, but human beings continue playing. So, you know, it's not uncommon to see older people playing golf or chess or Sudoku, or it's inherent in who we are and what we do. And there's a theory around that it's what's allowed us to evolve so significantly beyond anybody else. And so the fact that we are able to use our imagination and to spark those moments of joy and positivity, that's created us to be able to learn and grow in new and different avenues, which is really, you know, it's really interesting. I think sometimes we don't think of our brain in that capacity, that play is so essential to our learning. But, you know, Stuart Brown's research really points to it underpins everything. It underpins how we connect socially. It underpins our ability to retain information. There's so much of what we do is because we're playful. It's an interesting, you've probably heard of the sea squirt.
No, tell me more.
Okay. So the sea squirt begins its life with a very small brain, but it basically wiggles its way through the ocean. So it's a very playful little, you know, tiny critter in the ocean. And the sea squirt plays its way through the water and through the underwater environment until it attaches itself to a rock. Once it attaches itself to a rock, it's then fixed on that rock for life. It has everything it needs, and so it ceases being playful, essentially. It has no other way to play or interact with its environment, and so it actually consumes its own brain.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you think about that, and, you know, a lot of people say, like, if you're not learning and growing, if you're not being playful, then you're literally dying. Well, the sea squirt's kind of a very literal example of that. When it stops being playful and engaging with its environment, it consumes its own brain because it's no longer necessary. And so I think it's a really, you know, for me, I use that example a bit because it's a really stark reminder of if we're not being playful in our lives, I don't just mean with kids, I mean in our lives, as, and it doesn't matter how, we'll talk about how we can be playful, but there's a thousand different ways that you can create spontaneity and variety and just really engage in a joyful moment. And the more we do that, the more we put ourselves in those moments of positivity that enable us to learn and grow, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I'm really thinking about, like, firstly, my mind is blown by this story. But, and I'm immediately going to go and Google this because I want to know more, and it's just so fascinating. And I think it's a wonderful metaphor, actually. And, well, it's real life, but it's also a metaphor. And yeah. It's also reminding me of how important smiles, laughs, giggles, those positive emotions, jolts of joy that we talk about in our daily life are absolutely integral for how we engage with others, but how we engage with our environment, including learning and discovering more about ourselves and others and the world. So and I think we have far more positive memory attached to things where we've laughed or we've giggled or we've internally smiled than you know, those not so great things where it's the opposite way. So play in our personal life for teachers is critical, and we often think about it in regard to the curriculum, as we mentioned earlier. But in this podcast, we want to sort of think about and extend our idea of play and why it's important for us in our personal life. So have you got any tips in regards to that?
How long do you have? Maybe mine, Neural, this is like my favourite subject.
I know. share.
So I guess in my personal life, and one of the things that I think about is play is one of the really beautiful antidotes to stress. The challenge is when we experience stress, we don't go, oh, actually, I need to play. We go, oh, shit, I have to work harder. Mm. And it's actually a counterintuitive instinct, because if we get up, if we move ourselves out of a stressful environment and we play, we totally reframe our brain and it changes the way that we approach the whole world. And so sometimes in times of stress, by shaking yourself out of it and getting up and doing something different, it really has a big impact. So some of the things that, you know, I guess in terms of moments of play, we have a slack line. So I don't know if you've heard of that. It's literally like a tightrope. And when we were at home, we had it set up all the time. And between clients, when I was working from home, I'd go out and I'd just spend 5 or 10 minutes on the slack line just practicing. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that absolute focus and dedication to one thing. Even here, we've always got juggling balls and frisbees and footballs at the front door, because it's a reminder that it's just a fuel for joy.
Mm.
And it's a really easy way to do that. So there isn't one way to do it. My go-to, I'm generally a pretty physical person. So my go-to with play is often a physical nature, but it could be creative. So for you, you know, somebody else, it might be singing, it might be art. Using your imagination is just as important as physically moving.
Mm.
So play for you might be actually designing and researching your next holiday.
Mm.
That's a playful, inspiring thing. Even diving back into this research, like learning about play again and re-exploring, you know, there's a story of Hudson the sled dog. So I don't know if you've heard this either, but Hudson was a sled dog in the northern Canadian wilds, basically, and they were out there, and for weeks on at a time they have to chain up the sled dogs when they're not in use. Mm. And in this particular winter, there was very little food around for the polar bears. Mm. And one polar bear came up, and as it approached, rather than normally being threatened, all the other dogs were cowering. But Hudson, this one dog, actually started with play gestures. So, you know, he bounded on his front paws and wagged his tail and basically displayed all of those common play signals that we know. And instead of the polar bear coming in and, you know, tearing Hudson to shreds, the polar bear stopped and then he started making the same gestures. And so for a week, that same polar bear came back, even though it was starving, and it engaged in play with Hudson the sled dog. And so play is, it's such a solid instinct. And sometimes I think we forget that. But even in researching, you know, just talking through play, for me, diving back into those things was, it felt really playful. It felt like a natural flow. And I think play is where you, you lose sense of time and you do it for the sake of doing it. There is no outcome. It's something that you love and it energizes you and it fills you up. And so finding opportunities to do that, even going for a walk in nature, you know, maybe I keep going back to physical things like, you know, stand up paddleboard or surfing or, but it could be just doing some craft. It could be making a beautiful meal for a friend. All of those things have elements of play that when you bring them together, it just creates a sense of timelessness that, that fills you with joy. And I think that's one of the most important things with play is that you are able to really focus in on that moment. And when we do that, Narelle, the stress dissipates. There is no stress. You're not thinking about your electricity bill. You're not worried about taking the dog to the vet. You're not worried about what time you've got to pick the kids up from school. There's just that moment. And it's like that micro moment of mindfulness where your brain gets a rest. It really gets to stop and breathe and just be. And so for me, in your personal life, it's not feeling like there should be a script or there should be an outcome. It's just being able to find those little moments and pockets and creating deliberate reminders, you know, like my buckets at the front door. What's your version of that? You know, maybe it's leaving your cookbook on the bench on a Friday afternoon. Maybe it's scheduling a bunch of TEDx talks to watch over the weekend because, you know, that's what inspires you and brings you joy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's nice.
Different ways.
And I'm reminded of, you know, my morning walk, my mindful walk routine that I do. And the other day it was quite wet and rainy in Melbourne and there was a young couple walking their toddler and the toddler had gumboots on. And because it had been raining quite heavily, there was puddles everywhere. And I was watching from behind as I was approaching and from a distance, I was like, this is really weird. They keep walking and stopping and walking and stopping. And I was like, what's going on here? And then as I sort of paralleled with them, what was happening is every time they came to a puddle, they let their little boy go in the puddle and he's jumping around and the water going everywhere and he's giggling. And mum and dad are just standing back having a little chat. And at first, and they'd move along. And at first it was like, oh yeah, we're just sort of, it looks like, oh, we're just doing this because my, you know, our son wants to have a play. But actually as they kept moving along, they ended up joining in. And it was just such a beautiful moment to watch the spontaneity and the flow-on effect. And there's this whole family and they're just covered in water and mud and I'm sure there were some leaves in there as well, and I'm on the other side of the road and it's infectious for me. I'm just totally lost perspective of time and enjoying, and it's that smile and it's just such a small moment but so beautiful. Actually, I secretly wanted to be able to go and jump in that puddle.
Maybe next time they're real. Excuse me, can I come and jump in your puddle too?
I'll pull those gumboots out to join in. But it's even, you know, watching someone as well like that can bring it. And I also love that in the kitchen playing and, you know, playing with the cook, you know, as you're cooking with each other or, you know, just crafting as well or arts making. It's that slowing down and feeling the wool or the paper as you fold, you know, is another form of play that just helps you slow down and be in that moment and brings a lot of joy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, something you mentioned there, it is infectious, but it's also self-perpetuating. So if we think about how the brain works, whatever you do more of, the brain searches for more of. So when you start playing, it becomes more natural to see opportunities for play. And so as you see more opportunities, you strengthen those neural pathways in your brain that go, oh, we could play here. And then that is infectious. It starts this beautiful ripple effect of not just how you view the world and what opportunities for play there are, but also how the people around you choose to interact with you and what you bring. You know, wherever you walk, you bring a certain energy with you. And I think if more of us had that lightness of heart, I think there would be a lot of value, particularly where humanity is at the moment, right? Yeah. If we all had a little bit more lightness and playfulness in our heart, the world would be a much better place.
Yeah, definitely. I just had, as you were talking, I just had this visual of in the workplace, I'm shocking with wheelie chairs, and I actually, wheelie chairs and corridors, there's something in me, even if I'm in a suit or got high heels, I just want to whiz down the whole way on the chair and see how far I can go. So I have done it at work a few times. Maybe a few people might like it and others probably think, oh lordy, this is, I don't know about this. So what might play look like in practice? And I'm thinking about some nitty-gritties. I know we've talked sort of some general things, but in thinking in regards to the workplace where it might be a little bit more conservative, at home, in our personal life, hobbies, those sorts of things, I wonder if we could sort of talk a little bit specific in any ideas to inspire those who are listening.
So, and I guess just recent things in my world. Yesterday, our town, St. Helens, actually won top tourism town award.
Yay!
Very, very exciting. So, and I'm in the council building at the moment, and the girl, Jane, who's beautiful and did so much work to put the award together, I put a bunch of gold stars on her door. I put fresh flowers in her office, and then I filled the doorway with balloons. And so it's a small, like, honestly, it probably took me 5 minutes, but when she walked in, there was a playful moment of joy that we very deliberately had created for her. Last week, there was, you know, there's stress in everybody's office, but the level of stress in our office was really building. And I came home and just from my garden got like a whole bunch of greenage and flowers and just beautiful foliage. And there was 6 or 7 vases at work. And so all over the office, we just put fresh greenery and flowers. And so it's not, you know, it's not wheeling your office chair down the center, but it's something that's a little bit of creativity. It sparked a little bit of joy and it was different. So I think aesthetics is actually can be really important in the office in how we think and what we do. Putting up some posters that remind you to be light of heart or kind to other people. Remembering people's birthdays is a really nice way to be playful. Even, you know, my daughter has a teacher, one of the teachers at school, Mr. Harrison, and she noted the other day that every day he wears odd socks and they're always really bright and random.
So yeah.
Whether it's avocados or corn stalks or like just random, and it becomes, it's just a very small thing. But it becomes a talking point and it's something that brings a little bit of joy to a few people each day. And I think when we bring that sense of playfulness to our work, it demonstrates that there's an opportunity for a little bit of light, a little bit of positivity, and that breeds hope. So, you know, one of the things that we haven't talked about, the benefits of play is not just that it feels good in the moment, but we actually have a hangover effect. What happens is there's after we experience that level of positive emotion that comes with play, it actually has an undoing effect on the stress. So if we're playful in the morning and then we have a stressful day, we'll actually deal with that stress a whole lot better because we've got that, you know, it's like a positive hangover is probably the best way to describe it, but it means that we deal with it better. And I think that's important to note, that play isn't just about goofing off and having a laugh. It's actually a really solid and functional pathway towards building resilience. Mm. And if you think about play in that sense, you know, I'd much rather be playful than a whole bunch of other things. It feels good, and it's got long-term payoffs as well, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's actually a key toolbox in our well-being, self-care toolbox of strategies that I've often talked about over other episodes, is building up different strategies and approaches that help us interrupt stress, anxiety, and other things that are happening in our life that help us feel energized, help us be the best that we can be at that time. And I love that play could be something that we add to that toolbox because of all the benefits that come with it. But it can happen in that micro moment. It can be a 10-second giggle that has it's a marvelous interrupter to what's happening in the brain and our reactions emotionally and physically to a moment. And it's not disrespecting the intensity or the situation that you're processing or experiencing, but it's an interrupter. And knowing what that is, whether it's a meme or it's wearing, you know, I've been watching some educators on Instagram, and each day they wear different earrings, and it's become this beautiful almost sculpture that's hanging, and they get delight in sharing it and posting it. As much as wearing it for themselves, because it's cheering up, but it's something small, things like that, maybe small as that. Or, you know, that beautiful example of the vases of greenery, we can easily do that in a staff room, in our classrooms, in our home. At the moment we're doing remote flexible learning. A lot of the pre-service teachers are undertaking professional experience from their home, from their lounge room. Well, you can quite easily have a beautiful, some greenery from outside, or either a funky little toy on your desk that you can squeeze or make you smile. Or
bring your cat to work.
Yes. Yeah, I think
ways to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't have those things, there's so many cool things on YouTube or on other social media platforms where there's great little snapshot clips that you can watch that bring you joy watching and viewing or sharing them
There's a really cool one that I often use of pandas going down a slippery dip. And I think it's about a 30-second clip, but it's the cutest thing. And you know, I haven't seen anybody watch it and not have a giggle. One of the other things I was going to mention about the workplace, there was a national sales company in America, and they missed their targets, so they really were underperforming consistently. They had this huge sales conference and had all of their executives in the room. And the CEO, as opposed to getting up there and telling them they all underperformed, he explained that he was disappointed, but he also owned the results. And he understood that they need to, as a team, they needed to work harder, but he took responsibility for it. And then he asked them to reach under their seats. And under everybody's seats, every executive in the room, there was a Nerf gun fully loaded with bullets. And he asked everybody to pull out this gun and shoot him. And he did. And he said, everybody got into the room feeling this really, really heavy energy and sadness about underperforming and missing their goals. Mm. And the moment that they got the guns out, the whole energy in the room changed. Mm. And people walked away from that meeting feeling like respected and inspired and totally engaged again to create something better for the organization. And so I think it's a really great example of, even when things are dark, even when things are tough, you can make a conscious decision to create playful moments, but it has to be, you know, it has to be that conscious recognition that there's an opportunity for play here.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm thinking even a quick little text message or a WhatsApp message to a friend, you're connecting out, but it's got a funny emoji, or we can create characters now that are caricatures of ourselves. You know, I'm known for sending weird ass like big caricatures of myself.
Neuralisms, yep.
And you know, and it's kind of, I get a smile as I'm sharing it, but I know the person on the other end is as well. And it, you know, it's just that small little moments where, you know, we can do something for ourselves, do something for others as well. And it's like, yeah, those little elements that come through. So
yeah, I think sometimes we disregard play as non-essential. And sometimes, you know, people might see it as just almost a tokenistic gesture. And particularly in the workplace, people can be quite negative and can think, oh, you know, there's flowers, that's not going to make a difference. But at the same time, we're not trying to overhaul a system. We're just trying to bring a tiny little bit of lightness or laughter or joy. And I think it's really important to remember that is when you're being playful, not everybody is going to love it. And that's okay. They don't need to. The way that I think of my role in my business is about nudging. And so nudges are just really little increments of positivity. It's just a tiny little nudge towards people feeling more optimistic or hopeful, or, you know, a little bit of joy, because that enables them to connect. It enables them to see the future differently, enables them to open up and learn and grow. Whereas if people are feeling negative, then they don't do those things. They close off. And so play is just a really gentle nudge in a positive direction. And I think at this time, it's something that we can all use, not just for ourselves, but for our loved ones, for the people around us. Think about what nudges that might look like, and yeah, what can you leave at your front door?
Yeah, really nice. And I love also how that you raise that not everyone will interpret what you're doing as playful for them or joyous for them. And that is okay, because everybody's processing what they're processing and are where they are. But you never know, it could be 3 hours later or 4 days later that they're like, oh, I get that now. And they get the little smile then.
And you know what? There's a really nice story in our office. There's an older gentleman in a management position, and I've systemically been just putting up positive posters, right? Positive posters of everything. We've started a photo of the week competition. And last week I noticed that he put on his office window all of these beautiful pictures that he'd taken of the snow. And initially he really wasn't engaged in any of the you know, tokenistic gestures as he would see them. Yet now he's actually involved. And I heard all day long people talking to him about how beautiful his photos were, and engaging in a conversation and dialogue that sparked a little bit of joy and positivity around the office. So, you know, people, at some point, people will convert. It may not be everyone and it may not be instant, but keep on that playful bandwagon. People will come along eventually.
Yeah, nice. So as we come towards the end of this episode, I'm wondering, top tips, how can we find micro moments for play in our everyday?
Well, I think, you know, I had a conversation with a client this morning. She's American. She's in California. Beautiful lady. And we talked about rewards. And she said, you know what, I'm going to reward myself by going outside and playing in nature. And I said, well, what if it wasn't a reward? What if play was the bit on your to-do list? And so I think often we actually do that to ourselves. We don't let ourselves play until the work's done. Whereas science tells us that play builds us. It makes us feel good. It helps us grow and learn and connect. So don't wait until your work's done to do it. In fact, we should be playing before we go to work to get us in the right headspace. So really think about what your perception of play is and how important it is in your life. I think that's, and that was kind of a big takeaway from me. And I'm a big believer that our clients teach us as much as we give them. But it really is an important part around play shouldn't be a reward. Play should be part of the essential element of life. I think one of the things is dreaming as well. So dreaming is a really nice, using your imagination, particularly in lockdown. Our imagination is so amazing. Just making time to dream. What if I made time for this? What if I went there? What if I changed this? And I don't think we spend enough time as children. Children are always in that land. Because as adults, I think our to-do lists sometimes take over. So, add a little play and a little dream to your to-do list. Something personally that I learned a lot, after reading and researching on play was that variety and spontaneity make a really big difference. So, for example, if you go to the same Italian restaurant every Thursday night with the same group of friends, there's a lot of joy and a lot of meaning in that. But it's actually not playful because you know what it is. You have a certain expectation around it. You know the outcome. Play is really about doing something where you don't know the outcome. Let's just wander down the street and see what happens. There's a spontaneity and a freedom to play. And I think it's important that if we have those routines in our life, there's an opportunity to mix it up. That's a good takeaway. So if normally it's Thai food on a Thursday night, try Japanese on a Tuesday with a different group of friends. Mix it up. Probably one of the last things, I guess, for me, and one of the pieces that 2020 has really taught me is to follow the energy. And people and play are a big part of my life. And not everybody gets that, Narelle. I think one of the reasons we're such good friends is because we get it and we both are passionate about it. But when you want to make play a part of your life, it's finding the people that get that and that resonate and that find the same things playful as you do. So rather than being fixed around what you think you should be doing or who you think you should be connecting with, actually just noticing who gives you energy, who lifts you up, where is the joy in your life right now, and follow that, chase it down, hunt it down and stalk it if you need to. Make that a priority rather than being, fixed in what it needs to be. Be playful in how and when you can play, if that makes sense.
Oh no, it totally, totally does. And I think that finding the people and the things that energize you is so critical, and especially even more so now, but it is very much so anytime, but I think it's highlighted it even more so during COVID and particularly in those areas that are in stage restrictions and different levels of isolation, and that connecting with people looks different and feels different at the moment. What energizes you and what brings you joy and who brings you joy is really critical. And yeah, and I totally agree. Find those people, find those things and have fun exploring while you discover what it is. And I think for those pre-service teachers, graduate teachers listening who are feeling under the pump at the moment and stressed because of their roles and what they're doing and the constant change that is occurring. And I know there's a lot listening who right at this moment are feeling quite overwhelmed. Taking that time to stop and to step back, and I think sometimes we feel guilty that I've got this massive to-do list, I've got a whole heap of assignments due, or I've got to prepare this for teaching tomorrow. And we just keep on going and we get up and we do the same thing again and we keep feeling tired and we've got this cycle that's happening and the joy and the play is not there. And just knowing to take that time to pause and step away for a moment and go and jump in that puddle of water, or go and bake that cake and make a mess everywhere, or go and watch a Netflix series that makes you laugh. Investing that time to do that, to stop, then actually helps the brain reconfigure, interrupt what's going on for you. And you can come back with fresh eyes and rethink and re have a look at what you need to do.
Yeah. And I think that maybe that's a message if we're thinking about summing up, like up to everything, maybe it's play first.
Yeah.
You know, we're everybody's experiencing stress, but play is an opportunity to break that up, to change it, to change how you feel about it. And by being playful, that stress doesn't dominate you anymore. You actually learn to manage the stress better, and that's a cool, that's a cool benefit of play.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. We're going to end on that note because I think, you know, that message is play. So, and bring in those joyful moments and the smiles and find who energizes you and find what energizes you as well. Yeah, it's a total game changer, I think, for all of us. So, thank you so much, Judy, for joining me and talking about play and sharing. And I'm loving all our giggles throughout, which is nice. And I hope that sort of brings a little bit of joy for those listening as well. Yeah. That it's been a topic it's been a topic we've both love and it's important to both of us. So it's been great to be able to unpack it and share. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure.
Ideas, provided comfort, or supported you in professional growth, I'd love for you to take a moment to share your thoughts on social media, and I invite you to do this with the hashtag #TeachersSupportingTeachers. To access this episode's notes, as well as other episodes and resources, feel free to connect on the web at www.exploreandcreateco.com or on Instagram and Twitter at Rallypox. I'd really love to connect with you. Thank you to Magnus Mooney for the music, and thanks also to my guest Jody Cooper for joining me. And I leave you to think about how play can happen in micro moments that becomes an interrupter of stress for you. How can you see play as a conscious decision to create opportunities that sparks moments that are a little bit more than tokenistic gestures? How can you bring a tiny little element of lightness, laugh, smile, or giggle into your life? And what might be your little nudge to help yourself or others to feel joy, optimism, hope, and spark opportunities to grow?